talking about dependence upon the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not necessarily an easy life. God does not promise that the Christian life would be an easy life. God does not promise that the Christian life would be one of sugar plums and gumdrops, okay? God does not promise
that the Christian life would be filled with financial security
and money beyond belief and objects. In fact, quite the opposite.
The promise
for the Christian life is that we will endure
a measure of suffering within the Christian life.
A measure of hardships within the Christian life. The difference is that we have Christ
to walk with us through those hardships and through those difficulties. We battle the flesh, the temptations of the flesh, the temptations of sin, just because we are Christians. And just because we are followers of God and
sons and daughters of God does not
mean that we are totally perfect. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Who's perfect in here this morning? No one. If you were to raise your hand, I'd call you a liar.
And you're not perfect. No one is perfect except for Christ. We struggle
with the flesh. We struggle with sin. And sometimes we
struggle to fight sin.
Right.
And sometimes, maybe it's not just fighting sin.
Sometimes we struggle in deciphering the will of God for our own lives. What does God want me to do? How many of you have ever asked that
question before?
What does God want me to do? In this situation, that I'm wrestling with it. I can go either way.
Maybe
God wants me to go here. Maybe God wants me to take on this new job.
Or maybe God wants me to go down this new path. Deciphering the will of God can be pretty hard for us sometimes.
Maybe multiple things sound good to us, and we think we know the best way of doing things. And how many of you have followed the logic of the best way of doing things and got 500 pages? I know I have. Or sometimes, maybe the Christian life, we're faced with a conversation that we know that we're supposed to be sharing the gospel or the goodness of God with someone in this conversation, but we don't know quite how
to share the gospel with them. Maybe we don't know
quite the words to say, and then in that conversation, your heart is beating fast, and you're like, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say to that person? How many of you have ever been there before?
What do I say to this person?
Like, what are the perfect words to say here? Or perhaps maybe being active in the church body is hard for you. Maybe
you are at a point in your life where you are busy, busy, busy
all the time, and you've put church and you've put being active and serving within the kingdom of God, and it's fallen by the wayside. And you say, man, it's hard with the life that I live. It's hard for me to be active in the church body. Or maybe you're the type of person that says,
you know,
if we only as a church could do this, we would be in a good spot. Or maybe you say, if they only focused on this, we would see major growth in our church. Or maybe it's for you, I wish the church would do this ministry, and maybe
that's why we're not seeing as good results, because
we're not doing this within the church. Or maybe you just say,
I want to serve, but I don't know where
to get plugged into. So,
I mean, I don't feel like I have
a spot for me. So I'm just not going to do anything, and I'm not going to serve. Maybe that's you. Or maybe in relationships. And in the Christian life, in relationships, might be hard for you.
Perhaps you don't seem to connect with anyone within church. Perhaps
you've come and you have those surface level relationships, but it's hard for you to get in a relationship on a deeper level with people
inside of the church.
I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said that very same thing.
It's just hard for me to build deep, lasting, meaningful relationships with people. Maybe you struggle with that. Or maybe
it's one person in the church or two people in the church that you just don't get along with, that you seem to butt heads with, that you seem to clash with, that you seem to, every time you kind of pass them by and maybe have a little conversation with them, you're thinking in your mind, I don't want to necessarily
necessarily talk to this person, right? Maybe you struggle with that relationship, and maybe that relationship needs healing.
Or maybe you just find it
hard to be a sociable person in general within the context of the church. Maybe reading the Bible.
And we talk about life as a Christian.
Maybe reading the Bible for you
is at times difficult. Maybe you get into the Word of God,
and maybe it's not the lack of trying.
Maybe you open
up the Word of God
and you read, and you're just like, my mind is elsewhere. You ever done that before?
My mind is out elsewhere. Or maybe you come to a text and you read it, and you're like, I just don't understand what this says.
I have
no clue what this is talking about, and I really don't have any clue
how to apply this passage of Scripture to my life. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps your Bible reading is
you read it, but it's just not clicking for you.
Perhaps that's you.
You say, well, I guess I'll just put it up. If I'm not gonna, if I'm gonna read it, and I'm not gonna be able to understand it, I guess I'll just not read it. And I guess that will be that. Or maybe you feel like prayer. Your prayer life is difficult for you.
Maybe in the Christian life,
as you walk in the Christian life, and your prayer life with the Lord is not as vibrant as it
maybe once
was.
Or maybe you just struggle to pray. Maybe you don't know what to pray. Maybe you go to the Lord in prayer and you're just like, hello, God. That's all I got to say.
That's all I got to say today. Maybe I don't know what to pray in my prayer time
with the Lord.
In my personal time with God. Perhaps you struggle with that. Or perhaps you feel
that you just are not growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Perhaps you feel
that you're like, you know, I used to feel close to Jesus. I used to have this vibrant relationship with Jesus. But now, I struggle with this relationship with Jesus. Now, I struggle to feel closeness to Christ.
I struggle to be
affectionate for God. It used to come easier, but maybe you just don't feel
that anymore. Perhaps in the Christian life, you feel struggles and opportunities. You feel struggles and you miss opportunities. But this morning, we're going to be talking about that the reason why I took so much time to explain that. Because I think that maybe with at least one or two of these that
we all resonate in it.
Enough to resonate with these things. But this morning, we're going to get
all of these things.
And we're going to talk about
all those issues. All those
issues that we face as Christians,
those real
life, everyday issues, these opportunities for ministries, all these things, they're all about, listen closely, they are all about the Holy Spirit working in your life. They are all about the Holy Spirit working in your life. And we're going to get this out of the way, that the Holy Spirit is willing, everybody say willing.
He is willing to work in your life.
He wants to work in your life, believer, but the question is this.
Are you seeking?
The question is this.
Are you depending upon him? Because every situation that I just mentioned,
the Holy Spirit can
work in those situations to bring you closer to God. To bring you closer to people, to reveal to you a way in which you can serve within the body of Christ, and so on and so forth, in every example that I mentioned to you. So, are you depending on the Holy Spirit?
Are you drawing
near to the Holy Spirit? Do you realize the full extent by which the Holy Spirit works within your life? That's what we'll be talking about today, and hopefully by the end of this message, you'll not only know how the Holy Spirit works within inside of you, hopefully you will be seeking
relationship
with the Holy Spirit and dependence upon the Holy Spirit in your life to see him work in your life in the coming, especially in the coming year. That's my prayer for everybody today. I've been praying for you all throughout this week. Knew I was going to, the Lord's presence in my heart, I knew this is what I was going to be preaching all week.
And by the time
we got toward the end of the week, I've contemplated, I've thought about it, I've meditated upon it while we were down in Louisiana. When we got back, I started to hit the studs super hard, and I said, you know what, this is what I'm going to preach. And the Lord, no doubt, is saying, this is what I want you to preach. I've been praying for you ever since the Lord pressed this upon my heart for you, that the Holy Spirit will work upon your life individually. And not only your life individually, but corporately as Trace Brady Baptist Church.
The Holy Spirit wants to work amongst us. The Holy Spirit wants to work through us. The question is are you willing? And the question is this, are you depending upon Him? Will you draw near to Him? This is my prayer for our church
in 2025.
This is our last year.
Does anybody remember our word for last year?
Abide. There we go.
I can always call on Michael to give me the right answer.
Not true.
Yeah, not true. Something like that. But, all right, abide was our word. Abiding in Christ. This is my prayer, folks. The Lord has just been impressing. The Holy Spirit has been impressing this on my heart so much.
For this year for our church.
Is this.
Leading a Holy Spirit dependent lifestyle. Being completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? We're going to read, and we're going to find out, and we're going to find out. So Galatians chapter 5,
starting in verse 16, is where we're going to be. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16.
Hear now the word of the Lord. But I said, walk by the Spirit, and you will not
gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh.
For these are opposed to
each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do.
But if you are led by the Spirit,
you are not under the law.
Now the works of the flesh are evident.
Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these.
I warn you, as I warned you before,
that those who do such things will not
inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit
is love,
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Against such things there is
no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Verse 25 is our key verse.
For if we live by the Spirit,
let us
also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, it is our prayer
today that we would live by the Spirit. That we would walk by the Spirit, that we would keep in step with the Spirit. Help us to understand what that means.
Help us to understand how to
apply this to our lives.
Holy Spirit, do your amazing work in us today. Love you. We pray this in Jesus' name and everybody say, amen. When we speak of the third person of the Trinity,
the Holy Spirit, matters can get a little bit fuzzy, can't it? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes people shy away from teachings about the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. And that's mainly because the abuse of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. This is why people shy away from this, because of this abuse of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit.
Far-fetched teachings
may cause people to see the Holy Spirit as out there,
or mystical,
or magic, right?
And it can become really weird, right? Some of these teachings become really strange. Some of these teachings can
become really out there. And I'm sure you've seen and been alive long enough and been around long enough to see or hear some of these false teachings or experiences, right? Maybe you've heard of people being possessed to the point where they
have zero control over what they're
saying, and they start just talking, and claim that they have no control over what they're saying, and then claim that they're being possessed by the Holy Spirit of God.
Maybe you see somebody start falling on the ground, shaking violently, foaming at the mouth, because they claim that they've been possessed
by the Holy Spirit of God.
Maybe you've seen videos or have been a part of
services where people start
running up and down the aisle, taking
their jacket off, swinging around, and jump into a full baptistry
because they claim to be filled with the Spirit of God.
I've seen
videos of just that. I have been a part
of services of the Spirit of God
being misused and
the doctrine of the Spirit of God being abused. And because of some of those
strange things, sometimes people tend to shy away
from the teaching and the
doctrines of the work of the Holy Spirit. And for the most part, I hope you know that those teachings
and those experiences
do not line up with what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. But
what I will encourage you to do
is not to shy away from them.
I'm going to say that again. What I will
encourage you to do is not to shy away from the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to do the opposite of shying away from the Holy Spirit. What I'm encouraging you to do, church, is I'm encouraging you to draw near to the Holy Spirit of God. To not only
understand who He is,
but I'm asking you to totally depend upon Him in your Christian life. And so for the remainder of the sermon,
we're going to go through Scripture, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's
work in the life of the Christian. This is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the Christian. And because of time, obviously, we cannot be exhausted. Which means we can't say everything we want to about the Holy Spirit of God and how He works in the life of the believer. We can't. It's impossible for me to do in 35 to 45 minutes. I can't do that, right? So what we are going to do is we're going to focus on a few things. So first, we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. So look at your Bible again and look at verse 16. He says, but I say to you, do what? Walk by the Holy Spirit. To walk by the Holy Spirit. Now continue down to verse 25. He says this, if we live by the Spirit, everybody say live by the Spirit.
Live by the Spirit.
Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Two observations. We walk by the Spirit, and we do what? I guess you could say it. We what? We live
by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit, and we live by the Spirit. Now, those are imperatives. Do you know what an imperative is? English teachers
in here. An imperative is a command. An imperative is to say,
hey, do this.
And what Paul is doing here is he's saying to the Galatians, look, this is your imperative. Walk by the Spirit. This is your imperative. Live by the Spirit.
This is your imperative. Keep in step
with the Spirit.
Now,
this is a way that we start off in our life in Christ. When you are saved, when you surrender your life to Christ, and when the Holy Spirit moves on you, and you say, I have counted the cost, and I want to become a disciple of Christ, I repent of my sins, and now I follow in the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in. And you are indwelt, every believer, every Christian in this room, and every Christian on the planet, and throughout history, every Christian is indwelt by who?
The Holy Spirit, right? So you have the Holy Spirit.
There's no the Holy Spirit leading you, and you have to wait for a while for the Holy Spirit to come on upon you. No, the Bible is clear, teaching clear, that when you are saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That is forever.
But we're not talking about the indwelling of the
Spirit of God when we look at this text. We are talking about walking in the Spirit. We are talking about living by the Spirit. We are talking about keeping in step with the Spirit. These are continual imperatives. These are continual commands. In other words, do it. You have done it. You are indwelt by Him. But do what? Keep on, keep on, keep on doing it. Keep on
living by the Spirit.
Keep on walking by the Spirit. That includes our daily living. Everybody say daily living. That includes our daily living. Everything that we do. Meaning that when we live by the Spirit, when we walk by the Spirit's work in us does not happen
passively. We'll say that again.
The Spirit's work in us when we walk by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit and live by the Spirit
does not happen passively. It happens
actively. We have to actively seek out, because this is imperative, a continual imperative.
We have to actively seek out.
Continuously walking by the Spirit. We have to actively, continuously seek out living by the Spirit. We have to actively, continuously seek out keeping in step with the Spirit. Paul would not have given the commandments to walk by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, if he did not expect us to actually actively take a part in doing these things. Amen? All right. So what's the Holy Spirit's first work within us? When we talk about actively walking, daily living
by the Spirit,
first I want to recognize this. This is your first work.
That the Holy Spirit plays a role
in every step of our salvation.
Did you know that? Sometimes we look at the work of God the Father.
And sometimes we look at the work of God the Son.
And sometimes we can neglect the work
of God the Holy Spirit.
We talk about salvation.
Most often we say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we are right to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen? Because that's the only way we have salvation. It's by Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes we look at the Father, salvation, we say the Father, the Father, the Father. And we are totally right by saying the Father, the Father, the Father. Because the Father works in our salvation as well.
Well, amen? He does. But when we look at our salvation, we should
also say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Because it does. I want you to look at these passages of Scripture that I put on your note sheets here.
And I have lined out parts of salvation that are here. I don't get this. I got
these
particular pieces from Wayne Grudem's book, Systematic Theology. A great book. All right? So I want you to look here at the new birth. The new birth. How does the Holy Spirit work in the new birth?
When we're born again.
In John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus says this, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is everyone who is born of whom? The Spirit. The Spirit works in us to be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. He moves on us to bring conviction and repentance within our lives. Number two, He works within our justification. Justification is being made right before God. Standing before the judge and being declared what? Innocent.
First Corinthians
chapter 6, verse 11.
And such were some of you.
But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by whom? The Spirit of God. By the Spirit of our God. Adoption. Adoption is the part of salvation
in which you
are sons and daughters of the King.
You know that as a believer?
You are a son of the King. Or you are a daughter of the King.
Sons and daughters, you have been adopted.
Brought into the family of God. Heir to all the things that God has.
Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear,
but you have received the, what? Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry. We cry by the Spirit. What do we cry? When the Spirit works in us, what do we cry? Abba, the Father.
We call God Dad. We call God Father.
And how can we call God Father?
By the Spirit of God. That's how we call God. He works with us in our adoption.
In our sanctification, He also works within us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes this, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by whom? The Spirit and belief in the truth. You're sanctified, set apart, by the Spirit of God Himself. Not only that, but perseverance. Perseverance is a huge part of our salvation. We persevere to the end.
The writer of Hebrews is big on this, right?
He says, strive
for peace with everyone, but for the holiness without which we won't see God. In other words, we must continue until the end,
until our final salvation, to be saved.
And those who drop out between here and there, they prove that they were never a part of God's flock to begin with, right? But the Spirit is the one who helps us to persevere. The Spirit is the one who helps us chug along and helps us keep going within our faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 is a
verse that you should memorize because it brings me
so much comfort that I'm not sealed by my own work, and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit himself. He says this, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom, the Holy Spirit, you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ooh, praise God. I'm sealed by him. He keeps me going to the end.
And then the last part of salvation is glorification. At time we will be raised again,
be
made new. Romans chapter 8,
verse 11, memorize this scripture. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life. The Spirit will give life to your mortal bodies
through his Spirit who dwells in you. He's talking about the resurrection
of Jesus Christ. And he's linking it to our resurrection. By whom does this resurrection happen? Through the Holy Spirit of God.
Do you see, friends, that the Holy Spirit is
so involved in our salvation? Did you know that? Did you know that the Holy Spirit of God is so involved in our salvation? And so we will not sit back, and we will not say that the Holy Spirit is somehow secondary. We will not sit back, and we will not say that the Holy Spirit is too out there, or too weird, or too strange for me. We cannot, as Christians, ignore the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We cannot do that. In fact, the opposite must be true. We have to seek him. We have to pursue the Holy Spirit. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit has revealed Christ to you. The Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sin. He has caused your adoption. He causes you to cry out to God as Father
now. He works within you
in order that you will be made more like Jesus. That's not an if, an and, or a but. That is a
guarantee.
Jesus will, for the Holy Spirit, if you are a true believer, the Holy Spirit will make you more like Jesus Christ. That is the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31
and Jeremiah chapter 32. Go read it.
It is the promise of the new covenant that he will put his Spirit within us that we will not turn away from him.
Amen? Amen. He completely works in us. This is why if you claim to be a Christian,
but showing no fruits as a believer, no heart transformation, no persevering work, no service in the kingdom of God, and you just show spiritual apathy in your Christian life, that all these are marks that the Holy Spirit does not dwell inside.
Because the Bible makes it clear, you will be made more like him. This is personally why
I don't care for the term preservation of the saints. I agree with the doctrine. Amen. We all agree with good Baptists, but we believe with the doctrine of preservation of the saints, because that kind of it's a great term, but it leaves it open to, okay, well, I'm saved, I got the fire insurance, now he's going to preserve me till the end. No, he does preserve us, but he preserves us by a thing that I like to call perseverance. He puts within us to persevere, to grow in our faith, to be
made more like Christ.
That's his work. Amen? That is his work. But still, even though that is his work, the perseverance to the end to save us, there are still commands. This is where I want to the rubber
meets the road here. Alright?
There are still commands in Scripture for us to work out our own salvation if you're in tribulation, right? There are still commands for us in Scripture to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. There are commands.
commands in scriptures to walk in the Spirit. There are commands in scriptures to
live in the Spirit.
It's great that the Holy Spirit plays a role, a vital role in our salvation, but what about your everyday life, Christian?
What about your everyday life from the moment that you wake up
to the things you take part in throughout your day? What about the Holy Spirit's working in your life at those moments?
Well, if we're supposed to keep in step with the Spirit, if we are supposed to keep in step with the Spirit,
how do we do that? So here's your next thing.
This is a
very practical point.
The Holy Spirit empowers us. We see this throughout the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit comes and he rushes upon prophets
for them to do what? Prophesy.
He rushes upon
David for David to complete the work. He comes upon Samson, so Samson wins battles. He comes upon Gideon, so Gideon comes. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament
to accomplish a purpose
that he has set apart for a particular person. And we see this all throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit work through Jesus. He enters into the desert to be tempted, and John describes him as
what? Full of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 22. He is full of the Holy Spirit. This is why he combats Satan,
the temptations of the devil.
And he's able to combat. The Holy Spirit rushes upon the apostles and Peter in the day of Pentecost, right? And Peter preaches his famous sermon at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, all because the Holy Spirit
comes upon him and empowers him to do that work.
That same thing we see in just a few chapters
later, when there's a man that's full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen, as he preaches the gospel, and he gets stoned for preaching the gospel. He gets martyred and he gets killed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. All because he is what? Full of the Holy Spirit.
And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
chapter 12, verse 11, Paul, he says this to the Corinthians. He says, there is a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit that works all these things, distributing to each as each one as he wills. He works through us, through the gifts that he, the Holy Spirit, supplies to us.
Are you getting this? The Holy Spirit, just really
practically speaking, the Holy
Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity,
supplies
you with talents, with gifts. He supplies you with
passions and things that you are passionate about
in order that you may use those gifts and those talents and those passions to do the work of
the ministry. Now here's the question, Church, are you using those gifts?
Are you using those gifts? Are you using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has supplied to you? Are you just sitting idly by, letting those gifts go
to waste?
Believer, I want to tell you that you have power with inside of you. The power of the Holy Spirit that resides inside of you. You have power to use those giftings that God has so gifted you with for the furthering of the gospel and for his kingdom. If you're not using those gifts,
what in the world are you doing
as a Christian? What in the world are you doing within the body of believers? There are several reasons that people give for not using the gifts and talents that they've been given. When people let those gifts go to waste, they let those talents go to waste within the context of
the church, within the context of gospel advancement.
And guess what? We'll all have to answer to the
Lord for how we use those gifts and talents.
We will all have to answer to the Lord about how we've been faithful with what we've been given. Now, some of you are way more gifted than I am.
Some of you have tons of gifts and abilities that you use for the Lord. And this is not to say that God requires you to use every gift
that he has given you at every minute of every day for the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But there are seasons that he's given you to use particular gifts. that he has called upon you to
use
to further gospel advancement within his kingdom. The question is are you using
those gifts?
Because Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, we just read it. The same spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in whom?
Dwells in whom?
Us, as believers.
Think about that.
That's pretty powerful to raise somebody from the dead. I don't think you can get a greater power than that thing. The same spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you,
in you, in you, in you, in you, in you. Believer, that same spirit dwells in you. And he's empowering you with gifts and abilities to use for the advancement of the gospel. He's given that to you. And if that's the truth, if there's power within us,
not coming from us, but from the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us, you are empowered from the Lord himself.
Are you being fruitful in your gospel conversations? Are you being faithful to
use the gifts that he's so given you to
build the kingdom of God? Some of you might be saying, I don't know
what kind of gift you guys are talking about, but I don't have anything.
That's not true. The Bible's clear, he's given each one of us talents and gifts and abilities and passions in order to serve him and serve his kingdom and to give people the hope of the gospel. Do you realize, friends?
I'm going off script here. Do you realize that there are people who are lost without hope in this world? You were one of them
one time. You didn't have hope in this world. You seem so far from God. You seem like an enemy to God.
I mean, have you ever felt like that before?
You've seen that you have
rebelled against God because, rightfully, I mean, you have. We all have.
And God has gifted you,
Christian, with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring hope by your talents, your abilities, your personality, your character, to bring hope to people who do not have hope in this world.
To bring
the hope of Jesus Christ, the gospel,
to people who don't have it
in this world.
You know what? Some of you, and some of us, that we use that as an excuse.
I'm not very guilty, so I'm just not going to serve at all. When we use that as an excuse not to serve the kingdom of God,
I don't know what my
giftings are. I don't know what my talents are. I mean, we like to do these spiritual. Anybody ever taken a spiritual gift test in here before? Right? We like to take those and to rely on those. But you know what? I
found that the best way to find out what your gift is, the best way to find out
what your gift and your talent and your ability is to, number one, look at the passions that God
gave you. That doesn't come from you.
If you have a passion to work with people who suffer with addictions, that does not come from you. That comes from the Lord. If you have a passion to teach people the Word of God, that don't come from you. That comes from God. If you have a passion to be a part of this dual ministry that
provides for children who don't have anything, that what our church is doing, that passion does not come from you.
It comes from the Lord. You have to recognize that it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. So the best way to find out what your gifts are
is to, number one, look at the passions that he's given you.
But number two is to get up and actually do it.
You learn by doing.
How many of you are people who learn by doing? I'm a person who learns by doing. If you want to learn your spiritual gift and your talent that God has given you, what you are good at for the kingdom of God,
get up off your rear end
and go do it, right? And sometimes it fails. Sometimes you go into something and you're like, man, I thought I was going to be better than that.
I thought I was going to be more talented than that.
I know now that this is not my spiritual gift.
And so you have to go somewhere else. You have to say, okay, well, you know what?
Look, I'm not saying to just take some mud and throw it at the wall and see what sticks. But what I am saying is prayerfully consider that the Holy Spirit will lead you
to the spot where He wants you to serve. Imagine if people got up,
everyone of us in our church, I want you to imagine this. If everyone, a member of Trace Creek, and
every regular attender of Trace Creek, would be fully
using their gifts and their talents and their abilities
and their passion within the church for gospel ministry, can you imagine where we would be? Can you imagine
what impact that would make for the advancement of the gospel
of Jesus Christ to bring people hope
in a lost and dying world? Can you imagine the impact that would be?
That's one of our deacons. I'm a brag of our deacons for a second. Great example of serving where your passion is and just serve. I want you to think about some of our deacons. I think of Larry.
This is scriptural. I'm not praising him. I'm not worshiping him. I'm honoring him. The Bible calls us to do this. Right? I think Larry is loves to take care of the gym facility. Right? And he and his team that they got it down.
To a science. They have it down well. He loves doing that. Now, how would you say,
how can you be passionate about Jim Fuller, right? But he likes to do it. And it serves the church very well that he does that.
But do you know what else Larry likes to do?
Larry loves to teach the Word of God. And Larry's very good at teaching the Word of God.
And that is a gift and a
talent and abilities that God has given Larry. I think of Billy. Billy loves to take time. Listen to this. He loves to take time
to greet everybody who comes in.
How many of you were have been greeted by Billy before at the door when you walk in, first Sunday school, when you walk in? He loves to do that. And you might say, that doesn't take any great talent or any great ability to do, to stand at the door and greet people when they come in. But I'm telling you, the first face that you see when you walk into the house of God that is greeting you with welcome and a smile, show you the love of God that speaks volumes of you.
Amen. Billy does that, and it takes a great
moment. Do you know what else Billy loves to do?
He loves to visit. He loves to visit with people he sees in lists, and he loves to minister to them. And
I'm honoring you, brother.
It's biblical for them to do this. But he loves to take care of people that he's deepening over. You know what that is? That's using his talents and abilities
to serve the kingdom of God with Lars.
Yeah? I wish I had
half the talent that Lars has in learning how to take stuff apart and put it back together. Just a couple weeks ago, Lars had the church van over at his house.
And he sent me a picture with all kinds of engines. I don't know what it was.
All kinds of stuff is strewn about
his shop. And
it all was guts of the church van.
And I was thinking, oh Lord, if that would be me, we would be having some leftover parts.
That would be horrible. But he's gifted. He's talented in that.
You know why? He
takes that and he fixes everything that's wrong with the church van. Nothing I can do.
Where Ron and the youth group take the church van to East Tennessee. It didn't have a problem with it, right? And so it
ran smoothly and great. But he's using his talents and his gifts and abilities because he loves to do that. But you know what else?
What Lars loves to do?
He loves to minister to people who have been through trauma in their life.
And he loves to show Christ to them. And he does that. And he does it well. These are great. And why do you
mention that? I don't mention it to toot their horns. Okay? I don't mention it to do that. I could go down the
whole deacon list.
I can talk about Mr. Gerald. I can talk about Brandon. I can talk about Jonathan. I can talk about
all of our deacons and brag on them how they use their giftings for the kingdom of God.
But I don't do that to put them on a pedestal. I do this because our
deacons are supposed to be examples
of service and using your talents and abilities
for the advancement of the gospel of the kingdom of God, and they're doing it.
And so we look to them and we say, that's what a servant should do.
And so you know what?
I don't feel bad about pointing them out. I don't feel bad about highlighting them because this is how the Holy Spirit works in our lives.
The gifts and the talents that He's given us to do these things for the kingdom of God. When we serve like that, it
brings about unity.
When we serve like this,
it brings about growth within us. It brings about a better advancement for the gospel. It heightens the ministry of the word, what we're doing right now. But even with all that work that is being done by them and by
other people within our church, even though
we have several faithful people that are using their gifts and their talents
and abilities,
we still have several needs within our church that need to be met.
Where do you fit? That's the question. Where do you fit? But on the flip side of that, when
we don't use our Holy Spirit given gifts and abilities and talents,
when we don't work to discover these passions
for gospel ministry that the Holy Spirit gives, then the work does not get done.
Either that, or
it puts more pressure on people who are doing the work to work in an area that they're not necessarily gifted in. You know what that causes for them? It causes
weariness. It causes burnout. It causes all those things. So here's the encouragement to everyone in this room.
Everybody that is involved in Church Creek Baptist Church, do not just sit back and be a consumer. I'm saying this for your spiritual benefit. And Paul would say the same thing. Don't just sit back and be a spiritual consumer, because you are gifted by the Holy Spirit to contribute a part to the advancement of the gospel. Amen? Yeah. Number three.
The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us.
I've got a couple sub-points. I have three sub-points
under this. He guides us in Scripture. He guides us in Scripture. When we read the Word of God, the Word is not
dead. The Word is not some ancient book that is written long ago and doesn't apply to us now. Paul says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword that cuts.
Right to us. This is the Word of God, and the Spirit moves through the Word of God.
When you're reading, next time you get hung up on a passage that you necessarily can't understand, how about try to pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me.
I need help.
And I've prayed this before in our services, and I'll pray it again. Holy Spirit, we are not going to understand this text in this passage
rightly
in our lives unless you make it happen.
And so maybe God
doesn't give you proper understanding of a passage of Scripture because he wants you to depend on him, to seek him to give you that proper understanding.
We pray. And so that's point number
two. He guides us not only in the Scripture, but he guides us into righteousness.
He guides us into righteousness. In our Galatians chapter 5
passage, walking by the Spirit is contrasted with walking by the what? Flesh. And it gives the fruits of each one. The fruits of the flesh, if you look at the Galatians chapter 5 passage, is sin, misery, and death. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
That's the fruit of the Spirit.
But notice, these aren't how you walk in the Spirit. These things are not how you walk in the Spirit. These things are what? Products of walking in the Spirit. Products of living by the Spirit. So do you want to know whether or not you're spiritually
healthy in your life? Check the fruit. In your life, are you being loving?
Are you being joyful? Are you being patient? Are you being kind? And so forth?
Check yourself by those things. The Holy Spirit does the same to us.
When we're walking in the
Spirit, when we are walking in the Spirit, we produce fruits of the Spirit.
Number three, sub-point number three. He guides us by our circumstances.
Now, here's where we have to be careful,
because a lot of people who use this phrase, I know I'm going over, but you're okay.
A lot of people use this phrase. A lot of people say, God spoke to me and told me this.
You ever heard that before?
God spoke to me and God told me this. This is what God told me.
These are the words that God has told me. If someone comes up to you and says, God told me that you should give me $30,000 right here on the spot, what are you going to say to that? You're a liar. That's what you would say, right?
You're a liar, right? And you should say that because this is...
It's not scriptural.
But sometimes God does lead us by our circumstances. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, two times Paul and his crew were planning on going to certain regions. They were planning on going to Asia Minor.
And in verse 6, they said, Paul says that we were forbidden
by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia Minor. And then
they were going to go, plan B,
go to Bithynia and Pontus up north, and they were going to say, you know what,
we were going to go into there, but in verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go. Sometimes the Spirit
guides us by our circumstances. How did the Spirit speak to him? We don't know. Did he give an audible word? We don't know. Did he speak to them by some feeling and says, you know what, we get to the border of Asia Minor, I don't feel very
comfortable going in here. I don't feel peace about going in here.
So you know what? I'm not going
to
go.
Did God speak? The Holy Spirit speak
to them in that way? Maybe. Don't know. Or did he speak to them by the circumstances
that might have been going on? Maybe they get to the border of Asia Minor and there's a riot
happening or something like that.
And they say, hey, I ain't going in there. I'm leaving.
Did the Holy Spirit speak to them in that manner?
Don't know.
But the fact is that he spoke to them in their circumstances. In any case, the Spirit does the same thing to us.
When you walk
by the Spirit, you might get a prompting by the Holy Spirit to do something. Well, he's getting
weird now. Let me tell you some
examples. I'm going somewhere with this. I've had this happen on several occasions in my life. In fact, it's more than several occasions. I've had this happen to me regularly in my life. And I believe if you're walking by the Spirit and living by the Spirit, that this will happen in your life. Amen? Let me give you some examples. Kind of like when we,
I'm not saying that.
Get weird with this. I'm not saying that you say, you know, a thought pops up in your mind and you say, you know what, I'm going to tell the next person
that I see with brown shoes to carry an umbrella tomorrow, right?
That's weird. Don't do
that to people, all right? They're going to think you're strange, you know, God.
Told me to tell you that to carry an umbrella tomorrow. And
instead,
it's more like this. We're in Indianapolis.
And my wife and I would go by a coffee shop. There's this barista there, and she's having a rough
day. You can tell. She's having a rough day. Remember this.
She's having a rough day.
And I can tell. It's written over her face. And you know what? The Holy Spirit prompted me in that moment.
You need to be an ear for her, and you need to talk to her. Did he audibly say that to me?
No. But he prompted me. I can tell. He was guiding me to do it. So you know what?
You know what I did? I said,
hey. Say you're having a pretty rough day. Anything you want to talk about?
Most people would say what to that?
No, I'm good. I'm all right. I'll be fine.
In the next 30 minutes, she began to spill over to me what was going on in her life. That is a prompting of
I believe 1,000% is a prompting of the Holy Spirit for me to ask her about her day. And then I got the opportunity to share the gospel with her.
And I got the opportunity to pray with her. In Indianapolis, I'll give you another example. Just a couple weeks ago, there's this guy
that is going through a really rough time in his life.
And I've been praying for him
that the Lord would give me an opportunity in the right time to minister to him. I'm not that close to him. You know, I've spoke to him
a few times on occasion, but
he's going through a rough time, and God placed him on my heart. I just thought about it. Burden for him. You ever do that before? Just burden for him. So I'm praying for him, and I felt like the Lord
was saying, you know,
you got to be careful with this. But I felt the Lord prompting me, and I felt the Lord guiding me, get his number, text him, and call him.
Oh, I got his number?
I called. Voicemail. I got his number, I texted him. No response. No little three dots, okay? Just no response. Unread. Message unread. And I let a little time go by, and I said, how am I going to do this?
And so
I was praying for him. God burdened
me for him, and I'm praying for him. Lord, he's not answering his voicemail. He's not answering his phone. Lord, he's not answering his text messages. God, he's not responding to me. And
I really don't know what other
way to reach out to him except just to pray to you. And I pray that you would give me a God-ordained meeting
with him. I prayed this in my truck on the way to Walmart.
Guess who I saw at Walmart? No lie. Guess who I saw at Walmart? 30 minutes. I spent talking to this man
30 minutes encouraging him. Got the opportunity to pray with him. If that's not
the Holy Spirit, I don't know what it is. Or this point in my life, I'm pretty much guaranteed a
ministry position in another state.
Great size congregation.
Pretty much guaranteed a ministry position in another state.
And the Lord just gives me an uneasiness. No peace about this. I don't know if I can move forward.
I don't know.
You know what? I step out on faith and tell that congregation.
I mean, there's no. It looked great. It ticked
all boxes on paper. And I said, you know what? I'm sorry, guys, that we went this long.
I just don't have a peace about
this. We're going to have to exit this. We're going to have to exit this. And a little church from a town that
I know nothing of ends up calling me
to do an interview.
And as
soon as I,
Kate and I got off the interview,
I said, this is the Lord.
This happens to be true, if you don't know what I'm talking about. This happens to be here. This is the Lord, the Holy Spirit moving
within our circumstances.
To walk by the Spirit.
To live by the Spirit, my friend.
This is happening to you. Have you had opportunities like this? I'm telling you what, you're not going to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit in your life, in your everyday life, unless you are seeking Him.
And unless you are drawing near to Him.
Unless you are praying every day in your life, Holy Spirit, move on me.
Take charge.
Make me sensitive to the opportunity. Listen, it's not for lack of opportunity. You have opportunities all around you. But it's for the Holy Spirit saying, Holy Spirit, make me sensitive to the opportunities around me today.
Let me know what to say.
Let me know how I can have this
God-ordained meeting.
Let me know. But help me to walk by the Spirit. Help me to live by the Spirit today.
I'm completely depending upon
you today. And I'm going to go a few more minutes. Sorry, you're gonna have to wait. Last point is this. The Holy Spirit unifies the church in His work. Not only does He do this in our individual lives, but He does this to us as a church, as a whole, as a corporate body.
Is the Holy Spirit, friends, we have to ask this
question.
This assessing question. Is
the Holy Spirit leading us as Joseph Baptist Church? Is the Holy Spirit leading us?
We have to ask that question. And we have to ask this
very hard self-reflecting question as a church.
Is this church a result of what you and I and generations
that have fallen before us? Is this church a result of what we have
accomplished in our own power and wisdom? Or is this church purely a result of what the Holy Spirit has accomplished through us? That's what we have to be asking ourselves every day. That's what I have to ask myself as a pastor. Are we depending on the Holy Spirit as a church, or are we just doing
what logically seems right?
Because let me tell you, sometimes God asks us to do what logically does not seem right. You read that happened before?
Three sub-points on this. First, is Trace Creek. These are reflective questions to help us to know whether we as a church are walking by the Holy Spirit. Question number one is this. Is Trace Creek
submitting to God's Word? That's first and foremost.
If we are not submitting by God
to God's Word, guess what? We're not doing walking by the Spirit. Amen. I have no answer.
Amen. That's truth. That is truth because I would say this, that the central aspect
of the Spirit's work in your life
and in mine and in Church Creek's life
is the Word of God. I don't care what you're feeling. I don't care what your emotions are.
Are you more committed to pragmatism than the leading of the Holy Spirit?
Say that again. Is Trace Creek more
committed to pragmatism than the leading of the Holy Spirit? What do I
mean by that? I mean
Acts chapter 13. That's what I mean. In Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch, they sent out their two
best, Paul and
Barnabas. It did not
make sense
for them to send out their two best. These two best are disciples.
They know
the word. Do you realize
having these two
wonderful men, godly men, could do for
the growth of our church if we kept them here? But the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 13 says, nope, send them out.
I don't want them here. I don't want them here. In fact, I would go so far as the Holy Spirit probably would say, if you keep them here, your church is going to die. You need to send them out. It didn't make sense for them to do that. And a lot of times, we follow logic. We follow, essentially, me. I'm a very logical
guy, an analytical guy. And I think, okay, well, this is going to lead to this. We need to be doing this.
We need to be doing that.
Because it logically makes sense for us to do. Are we more committed
to the logic? Are we more committed to what the Holy Spirit is impressing upon us as the church to do?
And what is it instead?
How does this look? I mean, I would say that this, it looks like
trusting the direction that God is leading the church through the congregation
and through pastor.
Number one, trusting that he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Number two, I would say this.
Is that we don't become so dedicated to our programs and to our entities and to our
organizations and organized ministries that we neglect to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God has caused us to give up something that has worked in the past or that
is currently seems to be working now to do something completely different. But let me encourage you with this. Just as the church of Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas, and the end of that was their second missionary journey.
Or their missionary journeys, and how that impacted the spread of the gospel to the world.
God knew the end. The church in Antioch had no clue.
When God calls us to do something
strange, it's not logical, that doesn't make sense.
Hey, I would much
rather have God behind the wheel going into the unknown than
me and my logic behind the wheel. Wouldn't you? Amen?
I would much rather that.
In fact, since we've been here,
it's been hard because in the past year, we've lost two
great guys in the ministry.
They're serving somewhere else. God has done that to us. Hey, I'm calling
Brandon to go minister at Pisgah. Hey, I'm calling
Marcus to go down the road. And now it's like, hey, I just got here. And now
I'm leaving. Is it me? But
it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit calling me to.
We're going to be willing to submit to the Holy Spirit in that. So pray for your pastor.
Because I don't want to be leading wrong. Although,
I follow the Holy Spirit, you know, depend on Him to lead. And you trust me, you'd rather have the Holy Spirit lead me.
And then the last thing is this. Each member.
Here's the last reflective question.
Is each member of Church Creek actively involved in
using his or her gifts? We talked about this already. But the Lord has really impressed this in my heart. This passage of Scripture. Jesus says this. We recognize this.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send what?
Laborers
into the harvest.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest
that he would send laborers into the harvest. And friends, I said earlier, we have a lot of needs here in this congregation.
And I'm praying
that the Lord of the harvest would move on you, the Holy Spirit would move on you in such a way that he would
guide and direct you based on your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and your passions
to serve the kingdom of God here at Trace Street. Because listen, I can come and I can ask you to do this
and guilt you into doing this, but you know what that's only going to do? That's going to only cause you to serve for a certain amount of time and then after a certain amount of time back out. I've seen it
happen over. I've been in ministry too long. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over and over again. But instead, as the body of Christ,
why don't we pray to the Lord of the harvest?
Hey, the laborers are out there, and you know which laborers go where. So I'm depending on you, Holy Spirit, to move on them so that they would work, and so that they would be laborers in the harvest. And my prayer is that the Lord sends laborers into the harvest, because when it's forced, when work is forced, listen to this, when work is forced, it will die. Okay? When work is forced, it will die. But when it's a calling on your life, it's going to thrive.
I can't do that. Only the Lord can do that.
So it's my prayer.
That the Holy Spirit prompts you instead of
asking the questions, where can I serve, or why don't we have this ministry? You will say this, that the Holy Spirit is calling
to do this. give me a direction. This is where the deacons play. This is where your pastor plays.
You know, hey, I want you to tell me to do this.
What do you think? How can we help develop that? And we're open to that. So tonight,
when we meet together, don't skip out on our meeting tonight.
Because tonight, it could
be.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this for the rest of your time. I'm going to hold the Spirit leads. Amen.
I love Sunday nights. I love going
to the sermon. I love going
to the text. The Holy Spirit says, scratch it. Scratch it.
This is for Wednesday night. We're going to recap. We're going to open this morning. But we're going to spend a lot of time tonight praying to the Lord of the harvest. That He would send laborers. And His Holy Spirit would move on us, especially for 2025. Now, I've been in churches. Every time you say
prayer meeting, the attendance bottoms out. That's just what happens. It's a shame. Like, we laugh about it, but it's a shame.
It really is, because
I'm encouraging you that the attendance tonight at 6 o'clock
will be even
greater than what we've seen in the past. Because we're going to be praying to the Lord of Hosts tonight. We'll have a godly prayer time. And we're going to be praying that the Lord will send believers out into the harvest. So that's what our focus for church is going to be, is letting